I'm curious to see what music you think best encapsulates me.
I got a song that's called Absolute Chaos.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Let's Get Gaming Podcast, episode 27, your number one stop for all things video games, news, reviews, and interviews. This week on the show, we have a little bit of news to talk about, covering the world of gaming from video game specific news. The G4 coming back, baby! But we'll get to that over the course of this episode. Joining me this week, I'm back by the way, hello. Joining me this week, Stefano Fontana.
I'm a little lad.
He's a little lad who likes
berries and cream.
Pasquale Galuzzo.
Hello.
Who likes berries and cream?
Berries and cream.
And Chris Montpetit.
I am also a lad who likes berries and cream.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know what's going on with the world of humor anymore. I can't.
I think it's just your humor.
Yeah, you know what it is? You know, like when you were a kid and like you would watch Pokemon and you go to your parents and be like, this is Pikachu. And then from that moment on, every single one of them was Pikachu, right?
Pikachu, yeah.
It's not that they couldn't remember who was who. They didn't fucking care.
Yeah.
That's the secret. They did not care. So like, yeah, that's Pikachu. I can now communicate with my child at a basic level. I think that's how I'm becoming with everything.
So if and when you ever have a kid and they're like, look, dad, this is so-and-so, and you're going to be like, everything from now on, doesn't matter if it's related to that
or not. Nothing matters.
That character.
This is Steve from Roblox.
It is Steve. Yeah, Steve from Roblox. Yeah, he's in Smash Brothers. Yeah, so that's pretty good.
You miss all the shots you don't take.
Minecraft.
I missed the Smash Brothers talk last episode.
You did.
I hope you guys thoroughly covered Sora's addition into Smash Brothers. But now Smash is dead. Never getting another game. Never getting another character. Still amiibos to collect, so that's good. But Smash is dead. So we will not be talking about Smash on this show ever. Really.
Amiibos are also delayed.
Look, I don't want to... Look, here's the
thing. I got to ruin Patrick's life.
Okay, I don't have much. You know, I have this podcast.
They're giving you time to earn money to buy more amiibos.
No, there's no time. I have this podcast, and that's basically an hour a week. And then I have amiibos, which at this point also averages out to about an hour a week. So, you know, telling me that they're delayed is not going to help me at all.
The rest is just crippling depression.
Yeah, the rest is just, I thought it was seasonal. No, it's not.
It's depression.
No, it's standard depression.
Turns out it's every season. Yeah.
Who
would have thought?
Who knew?
It's more annual depression at this point. You know, it's just a proceeding. This is a weird tone to start this episode off with, considering, you know, the topics that we have prepared for the lovely people at home.
It wouldn't be the Let's Get Gaming Podcast without existential dread.
I swear.
To depression, like what's
speaking of existential dread?
I don't know what you're pivoting to. I genuinely don't.
How's Metroid Dread?
There it is.
Yeah, so I got Metroid Dread. I picked up that game. A nice little $60 Nintendo game. It would have really been hard. But I got super lucky. And I hate the fact that I have to say that I got lucky to buy this thing at retail. But I did manage to get the collector's edition and the Amiibo 2-pack. So that's another $60 Nintendo game that I spent over $200 on. Just to add it to the collection. Look. Oh gosh, the collector's edition for Dread, beautiful. Like the box, holy shit, the box of that thing came in, gorgeous. It's got embossed cardboard, reflective sheen. The art book is incredible. The postcards you get are up on my wall. Metroid Dread itself, if you like Metroid, you'll enjoy it. Mm-hmm. If you like Metroid Prime and you've never played like a traditional Metroid, you know, I still think you'll like it. We're in a weird world right now where like there's a lot of Metroidvania games out there, except for Metroid and Castlevania, you know? So getting one of those is like a really big thing. And I'm like, sweet, we got another Metroid. I like the Metroid as a series just because it's a wild 80s inspired sci-fi adventure that I don't think Nintendo ever anticipated to last this long, yet here we are. Mm-hmm. Dread is fun. Go ahead, Stefano.
I just find it funny that to your point, like, it has lasted this long by the sheer of will, because it's not like it's sold well.
Well, like Metroid Dread is one of the fastest selling games in the series history.
That's my point, but it's like before this.
Yeah.
It has the Switch effect, so I think it's going to sell well now because the Switch is like amazing.
See, Metroid for me, it's always been like the king of Nintendo's B-listers, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's like out of all of those ones, Metroid is at the top, in my opinion, right? Yeah,
Kid Icarus and...
Yeah, Kid Icarus, F-Zero, Metroid, you know? That grouping of games. I was worried, like Dread, like when, like, I don't like stealth. I hate stealth. And they're like, oh, in this one, you're hunted by like these Emmys. And by the way, they are nightmarish and I hate them. But it's not like that in the game. You know, it's only in like certain areas where they're allowed to patrol. But you genuinely, like the game from the very beginning, like as soon as like you connect to the supercomputer and Adam, he's the computer. He's like, okay, these things are on this planet. Don't try to fight them. Just fucking run. Don't like, do not try. Like they hammer that over and over and over. Every single time you talk and hook up to the computer, he lets you know, it's like, you cannot beat these things. Even at full power, you will not be able to beat these things. Do not engage with them and just run. And
did you try?
There's, what's that?
Did you try right away?
Oh yeah, no, immediately I tried. And, like you learn fast that you can beat them. The only way that you could beat these things is that if you go into there and like through the course of the story, you fight bosses and you get like a limited use, like a one-time use super weapon that you could use to destroy their armor and then blast their head off. That's the only way you could get them and only last once. So you have to make it count. But there's one, the yellow Emmy. They're all a little bit different. This one is fast and it just charges at you. Like it unfairly charges at you and the game makes you deal with it like five times before you actually get to kill it. And the validation I felt when I blew that thing's head off, I've never felt genuine happiness in my life, but watching that thing collapse into a pile, I'm like, oh, I'm a pro gamer now, boys.
Teabag it.
Yeah, I teabagged it. I turned it into a morph ball, put a couple bombs there so I bounced up on the ball a little bit, you know, to give you a little bit of a double Dutch bounce. It's a fun game. I'd recommend it. I think I'm close to the end, and I've been scanning amiibos, so I've been relatively cheating. It's good stuff.
Yeah. One amiibo gives you something good.
You get it if you scan in a hero amiibo, like one of the various Samuses, you get like 100 HP back. If you scan in a villain, you get like a couple missiles back.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I'm really glad that, you know, I mean, that's like, if you have all of the Metroid amiibos, that's like, what, $200 right there. So it's good use of money. Mm-hmm. Happy for that. Yeah.
I need to get some lore here because so Zero Suit Samus is my favorite Smash Bros. Character. Hmm. And I have no idea what game she's even like. I know she obviously is from Metroid, but like which Metroid game is there? Is Prime. Game Zero Suit? Is that Prime? Okay.
I mean,
I guess it would technically be like Other M.
Yeah. I don't think that you ever actually play a Samus without this suit, except Other M. But that game was
bad.
We don't count.
It doesn't really count.
I was going to say, I think we all know the reason why you love.
No, she's fun. Samus. She's fun to play, and yeah, no, she's a good character.
I'm sure she's got really great assets to her.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Great like move set. Yeah,
I couldn't think of any set. More puns.
Yeah, I was trying to think of one too. I more of a peach like man that. I feel bad.
Well, just, you know,
that was medium.
Really, really tight controls and
yeah. Oh, Chris is killing it, man. I can't even think of any. She's got a nice ass. That's one. I got it. Good.
What's that mean?
Oh, what have you guys been playing this week?
Who's gonna go first?
I'll go first. Pasquale, we know you've been playing.
Yeah, I've been playing Persona. I'll just get mine out of the way. Right. I finished the third palace. I'm done. Nice.
You're going to finish the palace a week. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, there you go.
Chris, 8 or 9?
Yeah, something like that. It depends if you're playing Royale, if you're just playing the other one.
This is regular.
Yeah, okay. I think there's 7 or 8.
Oh, nice. So Pasquale, you're covered for like the next couple of weeks then.
Another like month or so, month and a half.
There is one where you have to like do it multiple times. So.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a spoiler, I think.
I don't Christmas. Understand why this game is fun.
It's fun.
You got
3 seconds into the game.
And no, like, I got an hour and a half into the game. Pasquale.
There's a difference. That's 3 seconds. You do a 100-hour game. It's only 1/100th of a game.
Yeah.
It's fine, whatever.
1% of the game.
Yeah, who cares?
The cutscenes in this game alone make it just so incredible.
I suppose so. Oh, by the way, before we get into it, if anybody listening wants to buy a Lego Death Star, you could hit me up, send us a DM at the Less GG podcast. I really hope we never get super popular and like people find this episode like a year in advance and then I get like spam for this. But yeah, if you want a Lego Death Star, hit me up.
Maybe put a date stamp on this and just
okay. If you want a Lego Death Star, hit me up. Pasquale will find one for you. This offer stands
using his Twitter item. His Twitter connection.
Who uses Twitter connections? Yeah. I'm going to use this podcast as a platform. Legally
binding in any way, shape, or form.
I want to use this podcast as a platform for me to resell my used collectibles. So I figured I put in the legwork. I might as well get some benefit out of this.
This is now the video version.
To the Let's Get Trading podcast.
This is the LGGA.
Let's get auction. That's good. Dude, LGGA sounds like way more advanced than the
LGGA. Sounds like we're like an Alcoholics Anonymous type of program.
Are we?
In many ways we are, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I guess.
We offer support. That's about it, though.
No, for what? I don't know. But it's support. No, we just
wallow. We're not allowed to get support. No, we can't get existential again.
Oh, God.
It's not going to work.
Did you guys hear, speaking of Pasquale's Twitter connections, NVIDIA claimed that next year and a half, anybody year and a half, will have supply constraints a little more settled for their components. And that really might help. Yeah.
In 1 year?
Yeah.
That's a whole long time away.
So I gotta wait years to get
something to play on PS5.
2024, you'll get a PS5.
Just get it pre-built.
I mean, like, does it really matter? Does it matter at this point? You know, look, the shortage that's been going on for a while now isn't gonna get better overnight. It's gonna take time. And then even when shit does get finished up and fixed up, there's still the production side of everything. And then you have the shipping and the stocking and everything, right? Like we're looking at, it's gonna be this way for another 2 years.
And then the price is going to go up probably too.
I don't think the price will go up. No. I don't know.
The prices will finally start getting back down, but it's just going to take 2 years to get to that point.
Yeah.
And then they're going to want to recuperate their losses from the previous prices.
Yeah. If anything, you'll see prices maybe going down because they want people to buy in
the new stuff. Yeah.
And by then, they'll probably be working on like the PS5 Pro or whatever. So component distribution will be different.
Oh, if you don't think for a second that Sony is thinking about the PS6,
they're planning it.
Like the Xbox Z Delta, whatever the fuck it's going to be called. You know, that stuff is Xbox in development. Gibberish.
Xbox One.
They're going to start going to like Kingdom Hearts naming convention.
Xbox One 2.
Yeah, that's right.
I know this isn't the time for it because we have a show planned, but like I really can't wait to see whatever Nintendo has next after the Switch. Because I don't think they're going to be moving away from the Switch anytime soon.
They'll say Switch 2, like guaranteed.
The Switch U?
They usually iterate twice, right?
Super Switch.
Why do we not have the Super Switch yet? We got the OLED, which came out, which I didn't buy, by the way.
I'm surprised.
I thought that I would, but instead I bought a used, unopened Lego Death Star. And again, if you would like to buy that, you can hit me up. I'm playing Metroid Dread not on my OLED, so I'm not getting the full experience. Instead, I'm playing it on my brand new 4K HD TV. So I guess jokes on me. but yeah, give me a stronger Switch, Nintendo. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Never gonna happen.
Nah, whatever. It'll happen.
Steph, what have you been playing?
Yeah, what have you been playing, Steph?
I'm just powering through Scarlet Nexus, kind of getting through and leveling up. It's a fun game. It's not super deep, but it's like, shut my mind off, kill some anime bad guys.
What's the equivalent on Xbox for a platinum trophy?
1,000 gamer score. Not nearly as cool.
That sounds stupid. Really?
It's not nearly as cool.
I platinumed the game versus I got 1,000.
Well, you just 100%ed it.
Yeah, no, I'd rather just say I got a platinum. How many hundred? So, like, do you have a way of keeping track of your 100% in like 100%?
No, it's more about your total amount.
This is why I don't like Xbox. Yeah. Anyway, Scarlet Nexus.
They kind of missed the mark on that. But they're the first people to do it, so they just never changed it. Scarlet Nexus is fun. I downloaded the demo for Rainbow Six Breakpoint. And then the news about, we'll get to it, but I'm just no longer supporting Ubisoft anymore. Sorry, Mark. See you later.
Bye, Mark.
I'm so done with their lack of creativity. And yeah, bye, Mark. We're not friends anymore. I can't support Ubisoft.
We should get him back on the show for another one.
We should. I agree.
Defend himself.
Yeah.
My cousin wants to be on the show too. I don't know what he'll talk about.
Okay. Or just let anyone on the show at this point. You know what? Just screw it.
No, he'll talk about gaming streaming, game streaming. You could help him with that. You've done that for a while, right?
Yeah.
Or did that for a while.
Talk about Pat's Lego Death Star and then ask to be on the show.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. If he buys my Lego Death Star. Whoever buys the Lego Death Star off of me, I will allow you onto the show.
That's right.
I'll edit it out, but I'll allow you on the show.
That's right. You have to come on just to confirm the transaction, and we'll pretend
exactly, like we're talking to you. It has to be approved by the board.
That's right. And that game is super boring. And then I tried to play Avengers, and that game is actually fun. Like, the story is fun, and the game was okay. It just makes me really sad when I think that it should have been a single player game and it wasn't. So I'm so glad they ruined that.
Guardians of the Galaxy comes out in about 2 weeks' time. So we'll see. Maybe Square Enix did a little bit better with this time around.
But it's a different developer. I think I feel bad for them. They did a good job. Circle Dynamics. Oh my God, what the hell?
Crystal Dynamics.
I was going to call them Circle Dynamics.
Dynamics.
Okay. That's a cool name, I guess. Crystal Dynamics did a really good job, and now they're being shopped around to Xbox Studios to help them out. So, but it's all free on Game Pass, so no harm, no foul for me.
There you go.
Chris, what about you?
I've been doing a little bit of everything. Back to Assassin's Creed again, trying to finish up.
Which one?
Just stop playing.
One?
Still playing Syndicate.
I like to have everyone know that I'm relinquishing any kind of defense I have of any Ubisoft game. So now's your time. Please shit over it. It's fine.
Oh, damn. I never thought that you would have the same opinion on Ubisoft as you do as Nintendo. This is the world that we now live in.
Never insult Ubisoft like that.
Yeah.
It's not a Zelda game, so.
That's right. It's still better than Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Well, that's just factually incorrect. But okay, go ahead.
I literally couldn't even see that with a straight face.
I don't know. I don't know how you even said that without like vomit catching right on fire. doing that and just celebrated my day of birth. So Alice actually got the new WarioWare game.
Nice. So
we've been playing that.
How do you like that one?
Birthday.
It's been pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's really quick pace. I don't remember the other WarioWare being as fast as this one. So, did you see that? Or I was just extremely intoxicated when we played.
Was the last WarioWare for Wii or was that for 3DS?
The last WarioWare was for the Wii U.
Yeah. Oh.
And the it was not fun. Good.
I like the one for Wii.
The one for Wii was good. The best one, Game Boy Advance. The one that one was great. All the unlockables, everything, the games were really fun. It was like, I think that was like my first exposure to weird Japanese games. that was the start of my transition into becoming just a full-on weeb.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't take Persona.
Well, happy belated birthday, Chris.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you.
I think you're the first birthday podcast that we have.
No, I was.
I realized we can actually.
Oh yeah, Pasquale was. Never mind, Chris.
We don't really think Pasquale is
the first one that we care about, right?
Always forgot. No, I'm used to it.
Stop being mean to Pasquale.
Singer.
I'm just kidding, Pasquale. I love you.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Well, way to set this weird energy that we've created on this episode. I don't know what's going on here. Start talking about video game stuff. Boom, Stinger. Stefano.
Yes, sir.
You've offered to take the lead on the first story that we have today. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. So it's a story from Kotaku written by Zach Zwiesen. He's a Polish name. I can't precisely pronounce it. And it's interesting on two fronts. One on how awful of news reporters Kotaku is, and two on the actual story itself. So the article title is Metroid Dread is already running on Switch emulators. Only days after release, the latest entry in Nintendo's classic franchise is running in 4K using an emulator. So let's all wish we had that 4K Switch right now because we could maybe be playing on it. You know what I'm saying? It was officially released on October 8th, but copies got into the wild a few days before that. After such a short time, the game is now fully playable in 4K via various Nintendo Switch emulators. This article, you can go read on Kotaku. It's pretty interesting. It just goes into where you can find it. But what I wanted to call out specifically about Kotaku, because we can talk about emulators generally speaking, I think I would like to do that.
Yeah.
But just to go into like awful reporting, they took this out of their quote from the article because it sounds really bad. But one of their main sentences, so they within the article, they tell you where to find it, who is selling the emulator, and what emulator it'll play on, and how to get it.
Jesus.
And then they proceed to go, thank God for pirates, emulators, modders, and hackers in this article.
Yeah.
They begin the article to say, if you work at Nintendo, please don't read past this point. And are essentially...
legally, they're covered then. They're fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're safe. And since they have removed these lines that, you know, make it seem like they're supporting emulation, saying, like, we're not telling you to go do this. It's like, oh, sorry, we're just giving us
all the resources for it. Yeah.
It's like, my God, emulating Metroid Dread? That's disgusting. Where can I do that? So I know not to go there.
I didn't tell you to kill this guy, but here's a gun and a bullet and like how to instructions how to load it. Like,
they're just trying to cover their ass. Obviously, I'm sure Nintendo was like, what the fuck? Like, they got a cease and desist really fast.
So I mean,
their best to cover it.
Like, why would you mess with Nintendo? Nintendo is like on the same level. Maybe just below Disney lawyers.
Nintendo has like one of the most famous lawsuits when it came to fighting Universal. And look what happened there.
That's right.
Nintendo doesn't have lawyers. They just have assassins. And they just come take you out.
No. Nintendo's got lawyers. Assassins come second when you don't listen to the lawyer.
That's right. You get the cease and desist from the lawyer and then you ignore it.
Yeah. Nintendo's assassins are so good that their lawyers have never had to work a day.
That's right. They just get paid to be there. It's pretty great.
You know what? So today on Twitter, there was a hashtag that was trending. I don't know if you guys saw it. Pasquale, I assume you didn't because you have your PS5, so you have no need for Twitter anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it was Nintendo 60 is the hashtag that was trending. And basically it was people taking Metroid Dread and being Nintendo $60 game versus whatever, right? So it's like Nintendo $60 game versus this $40 indie game, right? I forget the name. I'm going to butcher it. Forgive me. The Kana? Bridge of Spirits that came out not too long ago for the PS5.
Okay.
The one that was made by an animation house. And people are comparing like this is like a Nintendo first party game that looks okay compared to this $40 indie studio that looks like a moving movie. There's been a lot of hate against Nintendo recently. And I feel like, you know, this Kotaku article is kind of building on top of that, being like, here's how you emulate it. Oh yeah, it's running right now on 4K. Don't worry about it.
Kotaku is this really weird company that hates both the people that play games and the people that make them. They're constantly releasing articles like bashing and like shitting on developers and the games they make, but then also shit on like gamer culture and just like call them out. And I don't really understand their perspective on almost any position that they post about.
Aren't they owned by Vice or whatever?
Oh no, you're thinking of Waypoint. Which was Vice's gaming network. And then Kotaku was owned by the guys who did Deadspin and all those like clickbaity, like gossip articles.
It's a way to get like people listening or watching.
They're 100%. Yeah, they're 100% click driven.
Yeah.
Kotaku.
Well, that's it. If you put out an article that has something that's going to upset somebody, they're going to be like, oh, what's this? I have to go spread my opinion. You know, they'll click into it. I understand that, right? I mean, you know, when I make the episodes for these podcasts, I try to do clickbait. Why not? Who cares?
Yeah, but
you know,
I think being clickbait and being inflammatory are two very different
things. There's a difference between that. Like Kotaku putting out an article being like, this is how you illegally download this game.
And then be like, that's like, I don't know.
allegedly illegally download this game. There's a difference between that and like, you know, like there's no, they're not,
like,
there's
like what?
Google, stop listening to us.
The second time my Google Pixel has gone off without any prompts, and it's freaking me the fuck out.
I've done that a few times.
I was gonna hide it over there. Yeah, no, it's Like, what's the point of this? Like, what are you planning? What are you thinking? Like, what are you trying to get out of this? What benefits do you have other than like Nintendo knocking at your door being like, yeah, okay, you know what's about to happen.
By the time Nintendo gets there, they probably gotten a bunch of clicks and like it's already generated what they need.
And that's the worst part, right?
Yeah.
Well, it is an interesting story. Like, I'm not saying don't cover it. It's very interesting that people were able to emulate this thing already and then get it running better than the system that it's on. Like, that's interesting.
Don't promote it.
Just don't tell me how to do it.
Yeah.
like, just be like, this thing happened. Like, report the news of it. I don't understand the logic behind it.
I mean, I guess it's kind of an interesting look at where, you know, the future of emulation is going. You know, like the turnaround rate of certain games and how easily it's going to be accessible to people that know how to get to them, right? I'll be honest with you. I'm a relatively tech savvy dude. I got no idea how the fuck to do any of that. Straight up. It's complete gibberish to me.
Yeah. So we're going to talk in allegedly.
Let me cover you.
The allegedly podcast.
This is how we're doing it. All right. The official stance of the Let's Get Gaming podcast is that we are against piracy of all forms and that you should support producers and developers of specific games in ways that you can. For the next part of this segment, we will be playing characters whose beliefs do not align with the individuals that are playing those roles.
Thank you, sir.
Right. So when I illegally download my game.
when Tefano Santana.
Yeah, exactly. Terrible name.
Shut your mouth. It's true. So, I mean, listen, I think I've talked about this before. When I used to play a game on PC, like, I stole pretty much every game that I could possibly steal. Like, I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I just stole games constantly. Just like I stole music constantly when I was 12 to 15 and I had no money or job.
Yeah, I stole a Kinder Egg once, too.
That's right. I'm a total thief. But
it was last week.
But I was a dumb kid with no money, and not that that's an excuse, but I was a dumb kid who didn't really know better and thought it was like kind of cool to like know how to do this kind of stuff, so I knew how to do it and figured it out. But that doesn't mean that like as an adult that I'm gonna do that. I don't even steal music now. I just have Spotify, which depending what musician you ask is just as bad as stealing music. But
well, I mean, it's weird though, because we, first of all, thank you Spotify for hosting the show. That's you know, but if they're the ones stealing from people and we're paying them to steal, I mean, technically we're in the clear.
We didn't know it was stolen. We thought we were paying the musicians. They're just, yeah.
I'm paying what they're asked, you know.
That's right.
Again, thank you for hosting the show, Spotify.
We in no way are backstabbing Spotify at all. Please do not remove us from your platform. I do think that there's like obviously a fiduciary and like legal obligation. Like, it's no matter what you decide to paint your reasoning as, like, it's illegal.
Yeah,
there's no like dancing around that fact. But do I think that there's a moral obligation up until a certain point to buy games? Yes. Like Metroid Dread came out on Friday and there was an emulator on it the next day.
Yeah, I would give it like at least a week. Like, minimum.
A week?
You're like, give them their opening spoiler window. You know what, yeah, I mean? Like, but are we talking about like Mother 2, where you can't get a copy for less than like what, X amount of dollars? Okay. Yeah. And there's no way to get it on Switch. I think there is a way to get it, but let's say that there isn't.
Well, like a legal way to get
it. Yeah, let's assume there's no way to buy it. And you're like, okay, I want to play this game. I would like to play this game. I think that like you could dance your way around the moral reason.
Dude, I can do that. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of games that have been released. It's a staggering amount. And over the last couple of years, within the last couple of decades, that, you know, development rate has become exponentially greater. There are more developers now, indie developers that are making stuff at home by themselves, putting out games. Like, there's so many games. And we're getting to a point where, like, you know, the new way of doing things is starting to outpace the old way of doing things. And those old technologies and those old formats are going to be locked away. There's going to be no way of getting to them. So there's going to be a large percentage of the total worldwide video game library that is going to be inaccessible unless you have, like, you know, certain CDs, certain ROMs, certain technologies available to you that don't work anymore and are no longer supported for you to play it, because those games aren't going to be ported. Those games aren't going to be archived. Those games aren't going to be moved forward, right? Like, So what do you do with those? You know, there's like obscure random shit on the GameCube, like Gotcha Force, that like that game's going for $600 on eBay. How mm-hmm. the hell do I play that? Because that game absolutely slaps. What am I supposed to do?
Exactly. Like, I'll never be able to buy RoboCop versus Terminator on the SNES without paying like an obnoxious amount of money for the cart.
Yeah.
So if I want to play that game again, I'm going to have to emulate it.
And again, like, I see, there's a difference though, because we're talking about games that came out years and years ago, whereas Metroid Dread came out last week.
Exactly. I think that's the reality. Like, if there's any way that you can buy that game legally, immediately your moral, like legally from the person who's selling it, like obviously like from a secondary person, like where you could buy a car for someone, like from the publisher of the game where they can get money from you for buying it, I think it's your moral responsibility to do that.
Steph, RoboCop versus Terminator is only $30.
I don't have it. That's pretty good, actually. I'll buy that.
I'll float you $30, dude.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. It's more like I don't have an SNES, but I can find those pretty easy.
I can
don't make fun of his financial situation.
You don't know what I can afford.
$30 is a lot of money, dude.
I can float you.
I actually don't think that like that not having enough money is a reasonable reason to steal games. Because
it's a luxury item. What is a reasonable reason to steal a game?
There is no reasonable reason. like legally.
That is a correct answer.
When you added it's a luxury item, changed my thought of what I was going to say. Because I say, like, let's say you're hungry and you just
that's different.
Bread. Yeah.
That's more, I can understand.
I'm sorry, Nintendo, I had to steal Metroid Dread. I was so hungry.
There are moral reasons to steal if you don't have enough money, but not games necessarily.
Okay.
You want to get into a moral discussion about when it's okay to steal?
No, I'm okay. we already got existential dread. Why not? Let's hit up.
Yeah, existential Metroid Dread. Stefano, would you steal Metroid Dread? Would you steal Metroid Dread in order to feed your starving family?
If you would feed them, I would give them the disc bite by bite.
You'd give them the disc?
Would you steal from a store to sell it to make money for your family?
That's right. No, I would emulate it, burn it onto a disc, and then feed it.
Oh my God. Damn, dude. So you're talking emulation, piracy, and illegal distribution and manufacturing.
That's right.
Damn.
And then also
he's going for the murder. Hat trick.
Son.
Yeah. That's how you wake up in a prison.
That's right.
And don't wake up. Nintendo has anything to say about it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Stefano, we completely got away from this, but what's the point of this?
Yeah, I just wanted to dunk on Kotaku a little bit and then talk about our moral stance on emulation. So we got there. That's good.
Pasquale, what's your moral stance on emulation?
He's bad? Yeah.
That's the right answer. Anything else I'd have to edit out.
At least, give it time. Like Steph said, like let the publisher, developer, whoever get their opportunity to make their money. And then if it becomes unavailable after a certain point, then you know what? Sure. If it's like impossible, do what you got to do. But like,
I agree. I think it's just wild that like a major publication site like Kotaku is like not only just being like, hey, here's an emulation of Metroid Dread, but also like, here's how to get it. Like,
3 hours
after. Like, to me, that's just weird. It's like if IGN were to be like, hey, here's the Switch source code. Like, oh, okay. Thanks, I guess.
No, apparently there's a way to break in. You could like open up your Vita and like there's something you can do into the back of it that switches it from like purchaser mode to developer mode, and you can just literally download games off of the store as if you're buying them. Like it looks just like the store.
Is that why Sony had to kill those systems?
I don't know how to do it, so I'm not Kotaku. I'm not saying like this is exactly how you do it. I'm just saying I heard this is a thing that you could do, which is crazy.
Okay. Just open up your Vita and play with it, and
good for you, man.
You know that if you have this thing called a credit card, you can actually open up the store and download anything you want to the Vita. Actually, no, you can't anymore. Never mind. Yeah. Whoops. Anyway.
Oh, that's all
man, we went full circle on that one, didn't we?
No.
Well, boom stinger. So our intern on the streets, I regret using those words. Chris, take it away.
Yes. Thank you once and always to Alice for compiling this list for us. But we got some news on the Pokemon re-release of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. And she even put this in list format for me, so it makes it even easier for me to read.
I would like to get a pulse, actually. Is Alice still upset about these games even existing? She was pretty mad at the fact that they are around.
It's not that she hates that they're around. She doesn't like the way that they did it.
Gotcha.
I think I have a similar opinion as her, where like I like the games. I just think they look stupid.
Yeah. She's not a fan of the chibi style. She's like, we have a beautiful game like Sword and Shield. Why couldn't you just run it on that same?
Well, okay, hold on. Let's be realistic here. Technically, I think that Diamond and Pearl remake looks better than Sword and Shield.
Well, okay.
However,
she's more mad that Sword and Shield should have looked more like Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, which was far better
stylized
models. Yeah, stylized.
Yeah.
But this one looks worse than the two of those.
Dude, I don't understand why they didn't like use the models that they made for Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee for these remakes instead of like just like, oh, let's just make chibis. Like,
And I'm thinking that's because in 2022 we're gonna get Let's Go Pokemon Silver and Gold.
Yeah. Let's go Togepi, let's go Meryl.
Something like that. Let's go Togepi, let's go Celebi.
Oh shit. Let's go Celebi, baby.
Yeah. Who knows? But it is rumored to come out maybe possibly end of 2022. But for the too long didn't read, for anyone that hasn't seen it, number one, HMs can be used anytime. There is no need for an HM slave, so no need to catch your stupid Bidoof. Or to have a Pokemon in the party that knows all of those moves for all eight HMs.
Perfect. Good.
Great feature.
Awesome feature.
Number two, autosave is now a feature. Boo. But thankfully can be shut off. So if you want to save before you battle your legendary, just to make sure that you don't accidentally KO it. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, auto saving as a feature in Pokemon, it's kind of weird.
It's bad.
I don't know if it would, I don't know if I'd say it's bad. Because there are times
when I'm like, you're shiny checking.
It's horrible if you're a shiny hunter or if you're somebody who cares about IVs or stats. Fair. Yeah. However, there are times where I have lost hundreds of hours and like accumulatively, I've lost thousands of hours of Pokemon because either
battery,
Game Boy battery died, and I'm like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Or I just like, you know, the switching stuff on the Switch is pretty easy. Just switch over from Sword into like something else. And I'd be like, when was the last time I saved? And then I'm like, oh, right. At the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I get that, but like, I don't know, man, as long as autosave is turned off by default and you have to turn it on, otherwise I'm going to have problems with that.
But yeah, I'm not sure if it's auto on or if it's you, it's probably autosave is probably the default.
Yeah. I'm going to assume it's auto on.
Number three. Fairy types are now included, which will make Cynthia a little bitch baby in the Elite Four.
Yeah. Is that something that people were like, of course they're going to add fairy types.
Yeah. If they were going to make a true remake, no fairy types wouldn't have been included. But since, you know, that is now part of the Pokemon canon, it makes sense. And sorry to Cynthia's little dragons. It's...
You're about to get fucked up, baby.
You're gonna get melted.
Cynthia scared the shit out of me when I was a child. The one part where you walk into a random house and she's just there and the music starts playing and it's like you've just walked into like an Eldritchian horror and you're like, I should not be here. But it's too late. As soon as you walk through that door, she's like, oh, all right, let's fight. And you're not ready for it, no matter what.
Number four. XP share is now included in the game. It is in your inventory like Sword and Shield and Pokemon Let's Go. So easy for leveling up. So
yeah,
if you're an OG player, it's going to make your grinding so much easier.
Wait, I haven't played Pokemon since like Blue. What does this mean?
So XP share used to be an item that you had to hold in one Pokemon, and that single Pokemon would share the XP that the Pokemon that you're battling with would get. Now, it is a item that takes place in your inventory and it shares XP through your entire party.
So does it split it or does everyone get the same?
It used to split it.
It used to split it. Now, now everyone gets like equal amounts depending on their level, I believe.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So if you wanted to, if you wanted to like have your team, but like always use your starter, you can level your starter up and like your starter will level up everything else on your party equally. Okay.
That's cool.
I believe, I think it still might be fractioned, but like, I think if your main Pokemon's getting 300, I think everyone's getting like, I don't know if it's 10, it's not 10, it's higher than 10%. But
they, like still got a, they got a lot.
They get a lot more than it used to be.
That's cool. Yeah.
It's a very divisive feature that's been reoccurring in the Pokemon games of the last couple of remakes, because a lot of people hate it.
Yeah, some people hate it because they think it takes the spirit out of like just grinding, and it makes it easier.
I mean, like
grumpy old people being like, back in my day, I had to really play Pokemon for
back in my
hours.
Day, I yeah. couldn't run.
But I was like one of those people, and it fucking sucked, dude.
Yeah, well, that's not fun.
You remember, like, I remember when I was going to fight Brock and I had to level up this fucking Bellsprout because, like, oh shit, I have to now. So I'm running around. It's 3 hours leveling this son of a bitch so I could learn Vine Whip.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and then I don't use it.
It was cool when you were a kid because you could only get one game. Like every 6 months, so you're like, sick, I need to be able to do this.
Yeah, I can level up all 150 up to level 100 individually. Perfect, beautiful. Great. Sorry, you couldn't hit level 100 in the original games. It's my bad.
Now it's a lot easier to do it. So
yeah,
also like 10 times the amount of Pokemon. So
time they have all the experience candy too.
Yeah, if you get enough rare candy, you can hit 100 pretty easy.
Yeah.
Number five, the modern experience system is in place. So example, if you catch a Pokemon, you get XP.
Yep.
So great. That's always rewarding when you're beating legendaries.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Pokemon Go, for that.
Yep. Number six. This one might be considered a negative. TMs will expire after one use.
Dude, that's
always.
Yeah, that's how they always were.
In the newer games, TMs do not expire.
Oh.
They are a one use item in Sword and
Shield. In the original, but I do believe in Pokemon Let's Go, they are multiple use, and I think it was also in
Some of them are a little weird.
Black 2, maybe.
I don't know. I kind of like it. It gives you something to like look for, right? It's like I have two things that I want Earthquake to learn. Learn to Earthquake.
Yeah.
I only have one Earthquake. How get more Earthquake?
You can now.
I think I had a stroke.
Number seven is you can now PC swap your Pokemon at any time, just like Pokemon Let's Go. And
love it.
Sword and Shield.
Beautiful. That's good. That's quality. That's quality of life. Right there.
Diamond and Alice is just correcting me here. Diamond and Pearl were the last games that TMs expired in.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
Fake gamer boy.
I've never played a game in my life, actually.
That's right. It's all a fake podcast.
Number eight, super effective moves will register on the battle screen like the new 3DS system after you registered that Pokemon in your Pokedex. So, for example, if you fight a Bellsprout, it uses its move on you and it kills you. It is registered in your Pokedex, and the next time you fight it, it will let you know that those moves are either ineffective or super effective.
Yeah. I like that because I'm not memorizing shit when it comes to that move chart. I know the basic stuff. I know like fire, hit it with water. Water, hit it with grass for some reason. Anything past that, I got no idea. Like a fighting type, fairy, I guess.
Fairy.
Flying.
Other fighting type.
Other bug. Fighting type, yeah. Flying.
No, not bug. Flying, yeah.
No, bug is strong against dark, yo. Because bugs own the night.
That makes no fucking sense.
No, it does make sense because bugs own the night.
And bugs are also super effective against psychic because people that are psychic are scared against bugs.
Yeah. Same with darkness too. They're scared of dark.
That's right. Number nine, Poffins can be made alone. They have now removed the ability to make more powerful Poffins with friends. Via the internet connection. So you don't need friends to make good Poffins.
Good, because I don't have any.
Yep.
Friends or Poffins?
That was always friends a problem back in the day.
Number 10, there are no overworld Pokemon. We are back to random encounters.
I'm okay with that. Honestly, with the art style, I don't want to see that shit running around. Straight up.
Now, number 11 is in two parts here. So in the underground, placing more statues of certain Pokemon will let those Pokemon spawn. So, for example, if you have three bug type statues down, more bugs will spawn.
That's cool. I like that.
And part two of that is that 18 statues can be placed in total.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that if you do something where you have two fire type statues and you have two grass type statues, technically whichever one takes up the more space because it comes in one, two, and three. So let's say if you're using a fire type, like a Charizard statue, for example, and you're using like a Bellsprout and Chikorita.
It's like a Bellsprout tonight.
I'm just trying to think of like easy to remember ones. Because like they only would take up one or two spaces possibly. They are less likely to take priority over like the big fire type ones.
Yeah. So you could kind of build out your underground to cater to what you're looking for.
Which yeah, kind exactly. of
cool. I don't think we've really been able to do that in a Pokemon game before.
No, I don't think so.
Just like in specific instances, like using honey on trees or like sweet scents, right?
Yeah. And finally, number 12, the grand contests have been completely reworked. 2 minutes time frame instead of the original 10 minutes to take on the OG games. It's now also more of a rhythm game, and you can play with friends using the internet connection instead of just versing the AI.
There you go. I like that. I mean, like, I'm excited for the remakes. I'm kind of expecting there to be something else, you know, like is Palkiondago not getting like some other form? Like, is there nothing, like there are no new Pokemon in this. They're saving them all for Legends Arceus. So like, mm-hmm. How is Pokemon Go going to use these games to draw out their releases? You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know if Pokemon Go is really going to touch on this because it's not really going to apply to them.
I'm just surprised that we're getting a new Pokemon game without it really adding anything to the roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing that surprises me the most, where they're like, yeah, we're just remaking the game. We're not adding a new legendary, nothing, no form changes, regional variants. They're not doing anything.
Is there a lot of time in between now and Arceus?
Arceus is coming out early next year.
Yeah, they actually just moved up the release date, which is something that usually never happens.
Yeah, it almost never happens. It's probably why they're like, this is, you know, this is just for people who are like diehards.
Yeah, they realized, we can't let them, the Pokemon fandom can't wait 3 months for an extra 3 months for their next game. Let's just put out the Diamond Pearl remakes and then we'll move on from there.
Let's get it out, get the hype up, and then get the sales on the new game.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm buying both of them, so. Yeah. It's true. Cool. I mean, like, you know, I'm going to get it. I'm going to play it. Hopefully there's a, you know, relatively early access to home integration so I could bring over, you know, a couple of my cool boy shinies and have a nice playthrough there. And then, see if the underground holds my interest and for after game, but just give me Arceus. Like, I don't care, man. I want my Basket Legion. I want to ride that bitch. It's all I want in my life.
I'm wondering if we are going to see them make an appearance into Pokemon Go for that release, or if we're just going to get like something, I don't know.
I'm willing to bet money that we're going to be getting those Pokemon in Pokemon Go. You think we're not going to get Kleavor? That thing's a monster.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, thanks, Alice, for putting together that TLDR on the Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes news dump.
So we didn't get her opinion on it. How did she feel about it?
Well, I think she's happy that some of the gameplay isn't changing too much, but she still hates the sprite design.
Yeah, thank God they're not making it into a battle royale.
Oh my God!
Boom stinger! All right, so a couple days ago, something happened. You might have noticed a disturbance in the force. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Frontline revealed trailer was dropped by Ubisoft on October 5th, a little while back. At the current time of this recording, this particular video on YouTube has 4 and a half thousand likes and 17,000 dislikes. I'm sorry, just give me 1 second. 17,001 dislikes.
Hey,
so we kind of talked about Tom Clancy and, you know, him being set up to a perpetual energy machine so that, you know, while he's spinning in his grave, he can at least power Detroit or something.
I thought for a second you were going to stop and say Tom Clancy's ghost has arrived at Ubisoft's office.
People are not happy about this game for a couple of reasons. The main reason is nobody asked for this.
It's completely devoid of creativity.
It's completely devoid of creativity. Stop making battle royales. Also, it's a Tom Clancy game.
It's a Call of Duty game.
It has nothing to do with Tom Clancy. I've never seen something so less related to what Tom Clancy wrote about in my entire life. Like, this might as well be Barbie.
Like, it was about like espionage and all like that kind of like tactical stuff, not just
shooting. No, you guys didn't read that Tom Clancy novel where like you and three of your buddies like drop down on this island wearing like chicken suits and then, you know, just emoting across everything. Make sure you spray paint. And then, you know, yeah, bagging your boys on the way out.
Wasn't The Division also branded as a Tom Clancy too?
That was Tom Clancy's The Division, yeah.
Yeah, but at least like The Division, that's like in premise makes sense in Tom Clancy universe, or like something that he might have written. Yeah, execution can be debated. It wasn't that bad of a game, but it wasn't great. But I think you're right. I think this book was written right after the game about the alien zombies that you have to go kill that's coming out.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Clancy, the author, is no longer associated with Tom Clancy, franchise.
He's no longer living either, which is helpful.
Yeah, he's also dead as fuck. So, like, you know, what is he going to do?
That is disco.
You know, their estate, Ubisoft owns the estate at this point, I'm pretty sure, right?
They own exclusive rights to the video games, but not the movie or anything like that, obviously.
Right. And at this point, I mean, like, sure, say what you want, but you know what the worst part is? I mean, it's not even the worst part. I don't know why I'm being, like, needlessly judgmental. But this game is going to do very well.
You think it is? I'm not convinced.
I think it is, yeah.
Because that game that came out, Hyper something.
Oh yeah,
totally fucking tanked.
Yeah,
no one cared about that game. At least not on console. I think it was okay on PC, but it died. They had to cancel the project.
I think that this one is going to take over the Twitch, top streaming viewership panel for like maybe a couple of weeks, because I think this is a free to play game. This is a free to play.
I think all the games
battle royale. What's that?
Didn't they say all their games are in the next?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see, right?
I mean, it depends how bad this takes.
But I mean, like, honestly, like, the Battle Royale formula, it works. It's easy. People like it, right? The secret is convincing these people to play your Battle Royale after the other, you know, hundreds that are free to play right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few problems with it. Let's start from the top. The name, awful.
You have a problem with Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Frontline? Or TCGRF?
I saw a really funny tweet that's like, or like it was a comment on a different podcast that was like, brand name, generic word. Like, it's like Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War.
Let me see. Let's go to random word generator.
Okay, but you're describing like, you know, a title. Animal Crossing New Horizons.
No, but that is at least semi-interesting.
All right. Someone come up with a writer's name.
Let's do H.P. Lovecraft.
Okay, H.P. Lovecraft. Let's come up with like a one of his series, I guess.
Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, generator. Revelations. Has to be Revelations. Or Valhalla.
That's right.
Okay. So we got H.P. Lovecraft's Call of Cthulhu Pity.
Honestly, actually sounds pretty interesting. I'd play that more than I play this fucking game.
That's great, yeah. I want a series of H.P. Lovecraft inspired video games set in the Call of Cthulhu universe, but every single one is just based off of one of the seven deadly sins.
Oh, okay, here's another one. H.P. Lovecraft's Call of Cthulhu Conception.
It's, there you go.
That's so good though. And that's the problem.
Look how easy this is. I just am like, I want a word with 10 letters.
Give us one more. Give us one more.
Pick how many letters you want in this word. Let's make this interesting.
Let's do an eighter.
An eight?
Yeah, let's do an eighter.
All right.
An eighter.
Let's do an eighter, boys. By the way, all of these game titles are like owned by me.
So I got three of them. So which was HP's Lovecraft Broccoli. HP's Lovecraft Generate.
There you go.
Call of Cthulhu Training. HP Lovecraft Call of Cthulhu Sequence.
There you go.
That's so good.
But some dickhead in marketing is getting paid like $150,000 a year just to be like, oh shit, I forgot this proposal. Yes, this is it.
Google search.
Yeah, he's sitting in his office like fucking Don Draper asleep on the couch drinking whiskey, and he's like, wait a minute, I got an idea.
Revelations.
That's right. This is a revelation.
Revelations, Valhalla, Cold. Oh,
I'm the observer. Damn it. I'm so good at this.
I think we're kind of coming to that point where we're not saying it's just an Ubisoft problem. I think it's a video game problem.
Well, is it really a video game problem, right? Because like we have at this point, it's brand recognition, right? Everybody wants to stay on target. You know, Call of Duty is a big name. They're not going to get rid of Call of Duty. It's Call of Duty. Current flavor. That's all it is.
When do I ever say I'm going to go buy Call of Duty Black Ops? I'm buying Black Ops.
People said that so many times in 2003.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, but no, the thing is, before you say Black Ops, it needs to build up that brand, right? So like when the first Black Ops came out, Black Ops. Like you guys
then, but now, it would have 10 games into Black Ops. I think we all know what Black Ops is.
Okay.
I get what Pasquale is saying is that back then you would say Call of Duty Black Ops. So but now you're like, I'm getting Cold War, right? Because everyone knows. It's like, you're talking about Call of Duty.
But that's like saying, okay, sure.
HP Lovecraft's Call of Cthulhu series needs to, you know, get out there a little bit before you could just be, I'm picking up Revelations. And everyone's like,
I don't say I'm going to go buy an Apple iMac or an Apple iPhone. I just say buy an iPhone.
Yeah. Now.
That's because you have...
This game's already out.
What was it called again?
You've triggered everyone on this podcast. Do you understand how much work has to go into a brand to say the brand and people still be like,
But we're arguing about companies that are there already. Like, what are we talking about? I'm not saying never do that. I'm saying Black Ops does not need to be called Call of Duty Black Ops.
It's not like we're saying Ubisoft's so-and-so-and-so. Like,
that'd be worse because then you'd be saying Ubisoft's Tom Clancy's. Like, what the fuck?
Wait, so what are you saying? You're saying that whatever the new Call of Duty is, I don't know, because I'm still upset with Activision, so I don't know. It's like Vanguard or something stupid. That's another one we could add to the acronym list. You're telling me that they should have just called it Vanguard?
No, because that one does not exist within its own series. That's its own game.
But so...
Vanguard 2 comes out in like 3 years.
But Black Ops isn't even numbered anymore. That's my point. It's not like Black Ops 5 Cold War. It's Black
Ops now. It's a sub-series within
the series.
That's
my point. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so, but for this one...
It's be called Black Ops.
For the Ghost Recon, like you can say Ghost Recon, I guess, but then... You
say Ghost Recon. What is Tom Clancy? This is not even Tom Clancy's story anymore.
It's Tom Clancy, Ghost Recon, Frontline.
There are probably 0.5% of all people that play these games that even know Tom Clancy's an author.
But nobody
think he makes
video games. I think you're overestimating that.
What, like Sid Meier's Civilization?
I didn't even know. Exactly. No one called it Sid Meier's Civilization. They call it Civilization.
I call it Sid Meier's Civilization. It's a lot for him.
Never talked about that game.
Most people don't even bother saying Civilization. Nobody's gonna just say Civ 6.
Yeah, nobody's going to go and start playing Frontline. Like, they're going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? They're still going to say Ghost Recon.
But they're not going to say Tom Clancy.
We live in a world where everyone's lazy. They're going to go up to the lady at GameStop. They're going to be like, can I get the TCGRF, please?
The equivalent here is Ghost Recon is... like Call of Duty. That's the name. Nobody's going to say Call of Duty now.
In this scenario, Ghost Recon is Black Ops because it's a brand.
I love how everyone is mad
because it goes Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War.
I don't know. For me, it feels like Ghost Recon is equivalent to Call of Duty there.
No, because Tom Clancy has more than just Ghost Recon. Tom Clancy has Ghost Recon, Division, Rainbow Six.
So you're cutting out Tom
Clancy. Yourself.
Yeah, well, you should.
I'm saying Ghost Recon and COD are like...
No, Ghost Recon and Black Ops are the same thing because of the subsection of the brand that is releasing the story.
Wouldn't Frontline be the subsection?
No, because it's
there's three brands.
It's still set in the Ghost Recon universe. but it's the front line now.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to read some of the comments from this video. So the spearhead said, imagine being this out of touch with your audience. Operator Drewski says, nobody, literally nobody on the planet, not a single person to have ever have exist or will exist, has asked for this. Yeah. I mean, like, people for the most part are a little bit upset.
Is there a positive one there?
Red Foreman, RIP Ghost Recon, at least Tom Clancy isn't still alive to witness this trash.
I'm surprised he didn't say something about foot and ass.
I was just about to say that I'm genuinely surprised there wasn't a foot in the ass joke.
I was. They got the profile picture and everything. Shadaboo, I like this one. Is it true that the servers for this game will be powered by the energy derived from Tom Clancy spinning in his grave?
They still have one from you.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
That was so meta.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Everybody, hey, Ubisoft, can we get a new Splinter Cell game? Ubisoft, no.
I remember this is almost like the equivalent of when they were like, when Bethesda came onto the stage and they were like, hey, you guys can play this on your phone. Or was that Blizzard?
That was Blizzard, right? Yeah. They're like, you guys don't have phones?
Yeah, you don't have phones.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
We can't pay $700 for a console. Get a second job.
Yeah, just get it. Yeah, just work at two convenience stores.
Yeah,
it's not that hard. Sued now, so. No, I don't know, man. We'll see how this plays out. Hopefully, people that are upset about this and don't want it actually do the only thing that matters and vote with their wallets or don't support the game. You know, but
they're still going to make it free.
No, yeah, the vocal minority right now is upset about it. But again, this game is probably going to be a banger.
Ubisoft's going to pay their 15 YouTubers that or Twitch players that make enough bank and convince all like the 13-year-old kids that like steal their parents' credit card to pay them money to watch, and then they'll play it once and never think about it again.
Yeah, no, man, I don't know. I'm pretty down on this. I don't think people are going to play it.
Games,
I think
games
it's going to
take. Listen, I promise you, it's not going to last. Don't get me wrong, but
when they get Ninja with the exclusive Ghost Recon skin in there, and all his little ninja followers are going to be like, "Ooh yeah, I got to play too. I'm going to be like Ninja."
It's the Ninja Clan.
Let's place our bets then. I say it's going to tank.
I think the game is not going to do well, but it'll do well enough initially for Ubisoft to point at it to be like, "See, people want more of this."
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to pull in enough numbers for them to go to their board member and be like, this game has outperformed our expectations, which were low.
That's right.
And they're going to get clearance and support it for like years. Right, that's we'll what's going to happen.
We'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, Boomstinger. All right. We're going retro, boys. How many of you remember a little station called G4?
Hell yeah.
G4. Officially relaunching next month, November 16th, 2021. For those of you that might be children, in which case, don't listen to the show. Pasquale.
Or me.
Or Pasquale. G4 was a magical channel. Almost a one of a kind, really, back in the day, in the early 90s, late 90s, I should say, early 2000s, that focused specifically on video games. Video game reality shows, commentary, everything, like a wide platform. It was basically YouTube personalities before YouTube was a thing. Before you could go on Twitch and watch people play games, you had G4. And then something happened and they all died. I don't know. I didn't really keep up with it.
The YouTube happened. He just said what happened.
YouTube murdered them all. But G4 is set to return next month. It's a little bit, I'm not really sure how this is happening. They have like a multi-year contract with Twitch. So you'll be able to watch G4 live on Twitch whenever you want. Like, that's cool. Like, it'll be live there if you don't have it. A couple other service providers are going to be picking it up. So you will be able to watch it on your TV like a normal channel. I'm excited for this. We have a little bit of an official lineup. So what shows are going to be featured on G4? Did everyone here, I mean, Pasquale, I'm not even going to ask you. Did anyone else here, like, you guys watch G4, right?
I've seen some of it. I didn't have satellite for much long when I was, like, kid.
In my age of, the ripe age of 11, when I first got digital cable and G4 TV came out, I would wake up in the morning at about 7 and watch The Lab with Leo Laporte. And he would tell me about all the great new tech tips and new tech coming out. And then I would watch Reviews on the Run with Victor Lucas.
Yeah. Oh my God. Dude,
Tommy Tallarico.
Yes. Yeah. It's wild, man. Like those shows changed me as a person.
Absolutely. I'm because who I am today.
It was the only place that you could get that stuff too, right? Like it's not like it is today where you could go online and like be submerged in whatever culture you want to be submerged in.
Yeah, kids don't know, like, you will literally never understand what it's
these
like.
Damn kids these days.
I'm jealous of them because they'll never understand, like, that it was not normal or cool to play video games or stream them or talk about them. And now, yeah. Like, you want to be rich? Stream video games. Like, everyone, Drake's on a freaking Twitch. Like, what? Like, it was not cool. Like, I just told you, I watched a show called The Lab with Leo Report. It was an old white dude who hated Macintosh computers. Like, it was not cool. So no, like,
but I mean, I think like the exclusivity of it, like only being able to get this content on this one station. And like, if you really wanted to watch Attack of the Show, then you had to wait for Attack of the Show to be on.
That's right.
And if you missed it, it's like, shit, I didn't have TiVo. I don't have a way to record shit. I was poor as hell.
No,
if I missed Attack of the Show, that's it. I missed Attack of the Show.
I would click forward a few in the guide to see when it was on next and be like, okay, I'm skipping dinner today. I'm gonna go watch Attack of the Show.
Oh, look, Attack of the Show is on at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday. All right, let's stay up, boys.
Yeah, this is in the before times when MTV actually played music videos.
That's right.
Yeah, MTV, we didn't talk about this, but MTV celebrated 40 years of in existence. So we want to congratulate them for 5 years of music.
That's right.
Really good.
And then X-Play, which is like, so X-Play's coming back, right?
So we do have a confirmed launch lineup with more stuff being added in as time goes on. But Attack of the Show, the original geek culture variety show, returns with the original host, Mr. Kevin Pereira.
He's awesome.
Can you say his name? Pereira?
Pereira.
Pereira. Oh my God. That just unlocked something in my brain.
Kevin Pereira.
Kevin Pereira.
Didn't Mark Hoppus also have a talk show on G4 with, what's her name? Amy Schumer?
Maybe later on.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Is that where I know Amy Schumer from?
All I know is Olivia Munn started on a G4 when she was eating the hot dog hanging from a lot of people.
Yeah, that's not the only thing she started, I'll tell you that much. So Attack of the Show is coming back. X-Play, the ultimate video game review show, returns as a digital-first content brand that balances the authoritative loudmouth confidence with the absurdity of a public access comedy sketch show. Dude, like, the stuff is wild, man.
Do you remember those sketches? Like, the freaking Spy vs. Spy sketches from Tom Clancy? Like, they were so good. And like,
it was mad TV just for gamers. That's all it was. And then they still reviewed games.
Yeah, they threw some reviews in there. This game got a 5.
Adam Sessler's coming back. He's going to be joined with a group of hilarious experts. And they're going to be bringing a brutally honest voice to the modern gaming scene. You know, as you know, like we are a gaming podcast. There's not a lot of other gaming podcasts out there. So I'm really happy that G4 is coming back, picking up the slack and putting out that gamer focused content. So Attack of the Show, X-Play, Boosted. Boosted is a weekly esports comedy series for curious gamers and esports fanatics alike. Boosted is that moment in game when you realize that you're worst player in the lobby. You want to revel in the entry level as we reapproach gaming and esports as interns guided by our executive level players. So I think like the new theme for G4 is going to be stupid esports heavy.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was wrong. The Mark Hoppus one was on Fuse, which also had some gaming news on it.
Oh, dude, I forgot about Fuse. Are they still around or they're dead?
I think they're dead in the water.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're also getting Ninja Warrior, ESL Gaming.
Finally.
ESL Gaming, Ninja Warrior, and a Dungeons & Dragons limited series featuring notable celebrities like Jack Black, Kevin Smith, Dr. Lupo, and others. Bowser himself, baby.
Did we just list Dr. Lupo and the likes of Kevin Smith and Jack Black? Is that where we are?
Right now? Didn't do it.
Can we also acknowledge the fact that Jack Black's going to be in 2 video game movies coming out?
I love that. What other one?
Claptrap. He's in Borderlands.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I can't believe that they got Bowser for Borderlands. That's awesome.
That's right. How'd they land that deal?
Yeah, who knows, man? Dude, this is awesome. I'm excited for this. I mean, like, I'll be honest with you. I don't watch a lot of TV.
I don't have cable.
No, yeah, like, I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to get this on cable until they work out some sort of contract, right? But
well,
this
is Canada. We'll get everything on cable. We'll
that's true, yeah.
Deal
yeah,
anything yeah. they can in Rogers.
Dude, I got a new Samsung TV not too long ago. And I didn't know this, but apparently, like, Samsung has, like, this built-in, like, free cable service.
Yeah.
Where they just have, like, really? Shitty...
It's just digital TV. Like, when I got mine, I was literally watching The Asylum, which is the studio that makes those mockbusters yeah. that I was talking about in was it episode 7?
Wow, that's good memory.
Something like that,
dude. You like Pasquale, you're not ready for this. If you get a Samsung TV, you get like just there's not many. There's like maybe like 100 of them. He's not even listening. Man, leave.
I have a Samsung TV.
No, you get a Samsung TV.
Yeah, like, it's Samsung smart TV.
Yeah, it has to be a smart TV. But there are free channels. But like here's the quality of channels. Okay, so I have the 21 Jump Street channel.
Yep.
Which just plays
21 Jump Street.
There's the Baywatch channel, which
is like old 21 Jump Street, right?
That's new. Those they rotate. They rotate these. So like they put them in for like X amount of months or something like that because the Asylum disappeared, but now it's reappeared because it's Halloween. And you get stuff like Just for Laughs. You get stuff like CBC political stuff.
Fail Army
Andrew Canada. Yeah, Fail Army. They also had like. Funny or Die had a thing on it. They've got
they're still up there now. All I've been like... doing is watching like haunt TV. That's it. It's just paranormal shit and like scary movies. And I got curious and I looked them up on Twitter. And I'm not even trying to flex, but we have more Twitter followers than haunt. So you know. So yeah, free plug for you. Congratulations. First one's free. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't know, man. Maybe this will become what I just have on in the background to, you know, to fill the void. Right.
No, can't with the quiet in my mind think.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to. Yeah, no, exactly. Can't have that. I don't know. I'm interested in seeing how shows that I grew up watching, like Attack of the Show, like how is that going to come back and, you know, modernize itself for like this new world that we live in where people don't have an attention span that lasts more than 15 seconds.
Listen, I am a nostalgia monster is the best way to describe it. So I will watch things that are old because they're old and I used to like them as a child. Yeah. And I'll be the first person to tell you that this will probably not be good, but I will certainly still like it because it was from my childhood.
Right.
It's like I watched Three Ninjas with that awful childhood movie that I watched.
Oh, Tum Tum.
Exactly. Tum Tum. Rocky.
Rocky. Yeah.
And I love that movie, but I will tell you right now, it's not a good movie. If you've never seen it as a child, do not watch it now. It is bad, but I love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there you go. We have November 16th, not that far away, only like, I mean, at this point, like 4 weeks away until the launch of the revival of G4. Maybe this means that next year comes E3, we'll actually be able to watch it on G4, just like in the olden days when Microsoft paid them exclusive rights to only air theirs.
That's right.
Yeah, good times. Oh, that was Spike TV. Oh, shit, I forgot about Spike.
That's right. Man, the early aughts were weird.
Yeah, it was. It was a wild time, man. Anyway, Boomstinger. So I think that's all we're going to have time for on today's show. We hit quite a bit, but we are like well over an hour at this point. And this is going to be a long episode. So we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you for making it this far. By the way, review us on iTunes, you cowards. We're going to end this episode.
What's that game?
No, I was going to get to it. What are you doing?
Sorry.
I was dropping a little review. Whatever. we're gonna end this episode the same way that we always end our episodes. We're gonna do a game of what's that game. If you're new to this podcast, first of all, welcome. One of us, buckle in, boys. One of us will be describing a video game poorly. The rest of us will have a total of 10 yes or no questions to ask in order to identify the identity of the unidentified game. Last week, Chris, nobody was able to guess your game correctly, which means that you will be taking the mantle and going once again for this week to try and, try and stump us, I guess.
Third week in a row.
Yeah. All right. So please go ahead. Your game described poorly.
All right. I'll give you guys the option, left or right.
Oh, not again.
Left.
Right.
Left.
All right. Your game described poorly. Man in Black uses his combat skills to take on thugs and criminals to accomplish his mission.
That's like 80% of the games.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
All right.
Man in Black uses his pardon?
A man in black uses his combat skills to take on thugs and criminals to accomplish his mission.
Okay. Thugs and criminals. Okay. Oh, man.
Is this a stealth game?
No.
Okay.
All right. Is this a Western-made game?
No.
Okay. All right. Man in Black. All right. Let's try to like land franchise or something. I mean, should we ask if it's a franchise?
Sure. Sure.
Is it a standalone?
Is this game a part of a franchise?
Yes.
Okay. So that's good. So we know it's not made in the West.
And it's not a solo.
It's part of a franchise. Yeah. Could be a Souls game.
Solo game.
What's that?
Not a solo game.
It's not a solo game. No, it's part of the franchise or part of a franchise.
Franchise.
It's not Western.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is this game, was this game made in the last 10 years?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Damn. I mean, that's not that long ago, honestly. Like 10 years ago, it was like 2010.
You're right.
It could be like 2 years ago in my brain, but
yeah, seriously, that was like yesterday for me. Whatever. Okay,
it was before 2011. So
I think should we try to figure out what franchise this is then?
Should we figure out the platform first?
Is this game an exclusive?
No,
it's not an exclusive.
Well, okay, when it was released, yes.
But afterwards, no.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, man.
You are now eligible to make guess.
Man in Black uses his skills to take down thugs and criminals.
Have we talked about this game on the show before?
We've mentioned it in passing, so yes.
Okay. I mean, that does make it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
You don't write down every single game that we bring up? Hmm. On my list right here.
My back pocket.
This is his skills to take down thugs and criminals. Came out before 2011. Is it? We don't know if it's Japanese. It's just not Western. Assume that that's Japanese?
I might have a guess.
Okay.
But I don't want to burn a question to like confirm it.
Okay. Well, it's one of your guesses.
Oh, no. He's saying he has to something.
Yeah.
You have four more questions.
Because like the thugs and criminals has given me a little bit of a hunch. And if it is a Japanese game, then like, you know, it could be part of the Yakuza series. Because we did talk about it. And that game is about thugs and or criminals.
Did it come out before 2011?
He said it's been over 10 years.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like the Yakuza as a series has been around for a while.
Yeah, it's old.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Chris has the wiki page pulled up right now.
I do.
Yeah, there you go.
Hmm.
Is this a Yakuza game?
No.
Shit.
Hey, you cut that out.
All right, I don't know then. Thugs and criminals. So
it was released as a console exclusive, but it isn't now. We could try to figure out what.
I didn't say it was released as a console exclusive.
I said it's an exclusive. You said yes.
I said it's an exclusive. I didn't say it was on a console.
What?
Well, I meant platform. When I say console, I meant platform.
On a platform, yes.
Yeah, it was exclusive to a platform because PC technically isn't a console, but it's a platform.
Oh, damn, it's a PC game, boys.
Is it?
Or a Game Boy game.
Is it?
Oh, it's a Sega Genesis game.
Is it?
In black.
Somebody take the plunge and ask which platform it's on.
How many questions do we have left?
Is this game three? Is this game in 3D?
No.
Okay, so that helps narrow it down.
Yeah.
Two more questions.
Is it Mega Man X?
So it's not a 3D game and you beat up thugs and you wear black.
See, there are hints there, right? Like, there's little tidbits.
Oh, I've given you lots of hints.
No.
Yep. Thugs and criminals.
That's incorrect. You have not done that.
Thugs and criminals.
Does this game involve supernatural themes?
No.
No? I have a guess.
Sure.
Even though I'm kind of going against the last thing I said. Is it Ninja Gaiden?
It's not Ninja Gaiden.
But he doesn't wear black, he wears blue.
You're right, he wears blue.
I guess so.
Oh.
We have one more question, right?
Yeah, one more question. Yeah.
I'm gonna put a guess out there. Is it Batman?
It is not Batman.
I'm surprised it's not Batman.
I worded it to make this a little tricky.
Right, you know, because like the obscure game that you pick doesn't make it difficult enough.
This one's not that obscure.
Man in black uses his skills to beat up thugs and criminals. Well, did you say beat up or take down?
Beat up.
Ah, shit, he doesn't know.
I said to take on.
Take on.
Gone. Oh.
Man. Interpret that as you'd like.
That really doesn't affect my thoughts.
Take on was by Aha, right? So that's there.
Yes, British easygoing band Aha. Yeah.
Aha. We got one more question. We have to make it count.
Yeah. I've dropped a couple extra hints in there.
No.
Well, during your questions.
Well, the part that fucked me up, I had a good guess, but you said it wasn't 3D, so that fucks me up.
I'll give you guys a little hint. This game came out before most people had consoles.
Huh.
Arcade game.
Holy, that's a long time ago.
Jesus, I don't remember 3 weeks ago.
It's an arcade game, isn't it?
Yeah, he did say it isn't a console, so yeah.
What are you playing that was on an arcade?
I'm trying to think of like old retro arcade games involving a dude in black beating up thugs and criminals, because that's basically like every quarter muncher that came out during that, right? Like that's every single one. It's one that's part of a franchise at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doesn't involve supernatural abilities, so we could assume that it's a straight brawler. Oh man. And I guess one that has been re-released throughout the years. So it's not exclusive to the arcades, but at the time it was. We have something with that. We could do this. Okay. Pasquale, since my keyboard makes noise, I want you to look up every arcade game release.
Already on it.
Yeah. Okay. Just wow, image, cheaters. Just image search dude in black beating up thugs and criminals. I can't believe it's not Batman, though. That's the thing that's freaking me out.
Right?
But I honestly did not play a lot of arcade brawlers.
Me neither.
Yeah.
This is not the only game or console or platform that it appears on either.
What does that mean?
Like, it's been re-released is what he's trying to say. Like, when it first came out, it was on there, but now it is not.
Yeah. No, I kind of said that. He said that before. That I assume. We still have one question, though.
One final question, boys.
Oh.
Should we use it to try and figure out the franchise, or should we?
I believe that it's an arcade game, like an original arcade game, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's a brawler, like the only brawler that I played was Simpsons.
But is it a brawler?
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
But is it a brawler?
If it's an arcade game, it's a brawler.
Is this a brawler? And you say yes still.
it's a side-scrolling brawler. It's got to be.
Is it?
That's my question. Is it a side-scrolling brawler?
No.
Damn it.
All right, well, we have to make a guess now.
Now we have no... I have nothing to go on right now.
Is it Contra?
It is not Contra.
Squall, you're up.
People wear black.
Squally, put us out of our misery.
Is it Street Fighter?
It's not Street Fighter.
Again. All right, that's it.
Did Squally have two guesses or no?
No, I'll give my other guess to one of the guys.
He's scrolling through the Wikipedia page of like arcade brawlers.
Just give me a game.
Soul Calibur.
Not Soul Calibur.
Just throwing out games.
What is it?
This is a game called Shinobi.
I would never have gone that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Stefan, I was like, oh no.
You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch. I know this game.
Son of a bitch, Bison.
Shinobi, also known as like the same type of game as Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, it's essentially Ninja Gaiden, but not. Ninja Gaiden, not by Konami.
When did we mention this game on this show?
We've talked about Shinobi.
That's never happened.
We've talked about Shinobi.
We should ask if there's ninjas in it.
Yeah, it's because what would have happened was, are there ninjas in it? Yes. Is it Ninja Gaiden?
No.
We already guessed that. So
good. I would have been like,
oh, it's not a brawler either. It's a hack and slash.
Yeah.
Hack and slash is a brawler with swords.
Well, no, because there's platforming in it. Like Ninja Gaiden's not a brawler. You wouldn't call Ninja Gaiden.
It's also a platformer.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair. All right. Well, that hurt.
Like a Metroidvania.
Hey, if you like this episode of the Let's Get Gaming podcast,
why?
Leave us a review on Apple iTunes. You can also listen to us anywhere that iTunes. You listen to us, you don't listen to us. But you could also not listen to us anywhere that podcasts can be listened to, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple iTunes, and a few others. I don't know all of them. I don't do the admin on that. That's mostly Anchor. Thanks, Anchor. Hey.
Anchor.
Thank you for sticking it by this episode of the Let's Get Gaming podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at the Let's GG podcast. I've been your host, Patrick Denny. Thank you to my lovely co-host for joining me this week. 7-0 Fontana, thank you for being here.
Keep your stick on the ace.
Chris Monpetit, thank you for being here.
Don't get shafted.
And Pasquale Galuzzo, thank you for being here.
No problem.
We'll see you next week on the Let's Get Gaming podcast. Until then, see ya.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
See you.